Or are you 35?
I think so. I think so. The pandemic kind of changed the ideal of time for me.
So you currently don't know your own age. Do you have a birth certificate around somewhere you can look at?
No, I'm either 34 or 35, yeah.
Actually, open your wallet. You probably have a ID in there somewhere. It'll tell you how old you are exactly.
Oh, well, of course, right? I'll have to go check on that. But, no, I just wanted to give one quick note. So I recently came out as polysexual or pansexual, excuse me, and have just recently, in the last couple years, been thinking about what a poly relationship would look like for me.
Okay, and Chris, I'm getting the signal that we need to sign off, but please call back. Please call back in 2 weeks on December 24th.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Happy holidays.
Hello, I don't even know your name, but I'm hoping all the same. This is more than just a simple hello.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214 to contribute to KBOO's $75,000 goal for our KBOO Fights Back campaign, going now until December 31st. What better way to celebrate than gifting your loved one a KBOO membership this season?
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Policy and Governance Committee meets on the third Tuesday of March, June, September, and December at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if the meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 11:02 a.m. Next up is the Dirt Bag.
Okay, we've done it, Jim. We made it here, even though we're a little bit past our starting time. Thanks for sticking around. This is the Dirt Bag, a garden variety show. This is Glenn Andreessen here beside you now until 12 noon, or a minute or two before that. We'll get your headphones fixed at our first break.
Yeah, we were in a traffic jam, so I just ran in here, Glenn. But
yeah. Glad do we have Jim on mic, Ty? Yep, you're going.
Great.
Okay, yeah. Well, here we are, December, the second Wednesday of the month at 11 o'clock.
And I hope everybody survived the atmospheric river that flowed over us for several days. That was pretty exciting.
Yep, that was a lot of rain, but it was a lot of warmth, too.
And it still is.
Feels like
the 50s.
Oh, maybe April day.
Well, I was thinking about 58. It on the way up here. I don't think Portland. You haven't had a frost yet, have you?
Nope.
No.
It's been into the 30s.
Yeah.
39 or something. Or maybe it was 37 even.
Yeah, we've had a couple of 31s and a 28.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that, it's really 50-some degrees out there right now.
Well, what has surprised me is I'm seeing a few ants in my house. This time of year, it's very unusual. I think they think, hey, it's time to get out there. So.
Well, another factor in all this is chilling period.
Oh, yeah.
So if between the chilling that plants get is between 32 and 45 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's about 45, there's no chilling going on. So I don't know how that'll do, too. But interesting.
I'll bet you we catch up.
You would expect that, wouldn't you?
It'd be pretty unusual.
This is not California.
Yeah. As I was traveling last month, and we were flying into one airport that was high in a valley, and the flight was canceled because it was just too much rain. There was 3.5 inches of rain, and the pilot has to do a dog leg to get down between these tall mountains, and I think there's only 8 pilots that are trained to go into this airport. Bhutan.
Bhutan.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one of the members of our group said this was the first time ever that they'd had to cancel a flight from Kathmandu in there. And so we were thinking, well, what are the chances of it, happening again tomorrow, because it was continuing to rain. And the one of the people on the group said, well, the odds are that it won't be canceled if that was the first time ever that they had canceled this flight. So anyway, that would be pretty strange if we didn't have enough chill hours, because that's probably never happened.
That's right. And I'm sure there'll be enough, but when it gets there is the interesting question, and what'll happen in the spring when things start to bloom and so forth.
Well, one of the things that I don't think we've ever talked about is we've talked about the chill hours, what the requirement is, but have we ever talked about what the total hours are for certain different trees? Like, is apple different than pear, or does cherry need chill hours?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely differences between them, and depending more on, in some cases, on variety. In California, they bred apple trees to have a short chilling period because they don't have very much down there, so they had to be able to start growing after a couple of hundred hours. But normally, 700 to 800 hours is more typical for, I think, an apple. And there are some trees that you can actually buy specifically. We've done this specifically that have even a higher requirement of chilling hours, so that
they don't bloom.
They're later
right
blooming.
Away. Yeah.
So
well, that could be a topic right there sometime.
That's
but
right.
Not today. No.
Yes. What about today?
Well, our plant of the month is coming up. Then we have. Let me just mention. If you have a gardening question, please don't hesitate to call us 503-231-8187. If you'd rather send an email, you can do that at thedirtbag@kboo.org. But we are not monitoring that at this point, so we would answer that next month.
You know what I was thinking this morning, if I could say something for a moment.
You may.
It is a time of year when people think about purchasing plants, and we could talk about this more a little later when we talk about catalogs and so forth. But I was thinking that, I certainly would offer to the listeners, if they have a question about specific varieties that we might be able to answer for fruit trees or whatever, if they write to the KBOO address, You know, and we can monitor that more frequently. I'd be willing to answer the ones I can answer. And then we can also talk about that on the show the next month, too.
I forward on those ones that that you can take care of.
That'd be great.
I don't have to.
So it's the dirtbag at kboo.org.
Yeah, cool. Yep.
Great.
Then we will talk about gifts for gardeners.
Yes.
And if you have an idea, or maybe you could call in with a good gift that you've received, give others hints about, oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And then it is time to begin the planning for pruning, and even pruning for some things. But other things we'll be putting off for 3 months.
Yep.
We'll talk about that. At half past the hour, we'll have not only last month's Garden Stumper, because we got no answers. You had to email in that one. But we'll have a new one, which I think is a nice one. And then let's see what's going on in the garden. This is one of the things that Jim suggested, but we'll expand it, what questions to ask when you're buying a fruit tree. Is it the right one for you?
Yep.
And that just covers everything. Is it the right one? Your tastes, your climate, your soil.
Very important questions.
Yes. We will then follow that. I forgot my glasses, so it's a little tough for me here. And there's kind of dim light here, but nevertheless, it's too late to plant cover crops now. But I will put in a plug at that time for what else we can do to cover our soil. That's an important thing, especially with all that rain. You can just imagine, where's all that water going? It's taking the nutrients with it.
Yeah. I imagine there's some pretty fertile water draining through the rivers.
Yeah, that's why, that nexus between the rivers and seas, the deltas, are very, is it fundant?
Pungent, yeah.
No, not pungent. Yeah, that's the word there, but somebody will call in maybe. And our dirtbag dictionary term, which will be catkin or catkins.
That's right.
Yep. And also, what I'm trying to understand this month, but we just do this right off the bat so I can get it off. It's not off my chest, but I might get some heat for this one, Jim.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Although that's never happened. Oh, it did one time when I was talking about the soccer rules for the shootouts. This has to do with when someone sneezes, that somebody else says, bless you. It's just superstition now. I mean, I looked this up. Hundreds of years ago, it was thought that, maybe that's the first sign of you have the plague or some other deadly disease. So, let's just get it over with. And furthermore, can people bless other people? I mean, if you're going to try to save somebody's soul because they sneezed?
I don't think it's so common to hear that, though. Maybe I don't sneeze very often. So
well, they don't necessarily say it to me, but I hear it, overhear it.
I see.
Still.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monthly.
People learn things, passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's something more involved, too, because it's not everybody that does it. Yeah, same same thing. That was a German.
Yeah. Do you know what that means in German?
I think it's somewhat of the same blessing.
I bet a listener. There might be a listener who's a German speaker.
We could look that up, too. But anyway, maybe they could help me understand that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, let us begin then. 503-231-8187 if you have a question or an answer to our stumpers that's coming up at half past the hour, which, geez, is coming right up here now.
Something I'd like to also mention real quickly. So I listen to folk music every morning on KBOO from 5:30 to 7. Sometimes I'm not up at 5:30, but usually by 6. And Will Selzer is the DJ this morning. And he and I have corresponded about different things. But I wanted to thank him for telling people about this show. And I just want to remind listeners who are listening to The Garden Show that if you're up early, there's some great music. One of the fun songs he played this morning was the song about the Peter Iredale.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great song by the Brownsmead Flats.
Well, actually, I've never heard the song.
No.
But I have pictures of the Peter Iredale going back to Well, my grandfather took a photo of it, and I'm not sure when that was, 1920s, maybe?
I'd love to see that, Glenn.
And then I have series of photos through the years then.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, and the original, an original photo from 1906, I believe it was, when there were horses there on the beach trying to unstick it. Well, Didn't happen.
Well, I have the album with the song on it, okay, so I'll tell you, I'll trade you the song if you'd let me look at the photos. I'd be thrilled. Maybe I can make
probably
a copy
try
of
to.
Something.
Well, maybe I can just send you. They're all digitized.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah,
that'd
maybe
be awesome.
I can send you those.
I was there just recently, and you know, there's not much left, but there is still something.
Well, it depends on where the sand is. Sometimes there's a lot more showing.
Yeah, it didn't look like there's much more to show when I looked at it because it's pretty slim. But there's still steel stuff sticking up out of the sand.
Yeah.
And it's hard to imagine that it was a ship at one point. But as an old seafarer myself, I can really appreciate how that worked out, and thankfully the crew was saved and you know, it was apparently a beautiful sailing ship. So
the thought just occurred to me that. I mentioned at some point we were going to start an Only Oregon trivia question for our show, in addition to the Garden Stumper. But I haven't dug any of those questions out. But that does remind me about that the Columbia River Bar, how just dangerous it is.
Graveyard of the Pacific, they called it.
And do you know why? This would be the question, but I'll just get our juices flowing here. How many... ships?
Over 1,000, I think.
Over 2,000.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, that's how dangerous it is.
I went over a few times in fishing boats and stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, I mean, of course, there's bar pilots that help the big ships. And,
yeah.
And, you know, it's not as bad as it was, obviously, thankfully. But, yeah.
Well, okay, well, we better talk gardening, although this is a garden variety show.
That's right.
Okay, I'll talk about our plan of the month, and then we'll get to our musics.
Okay.
This is not really, it's a garden plant, but it's not edible. Mm. At least not for humans. Mm. This is a plant that is blooming fully it blooms between November and February. Mm. Now, is that a good plant? You want to look out there and see these beautiful yellow blossoms?
What
is it? Mahonia X media. Mm-hmm. It's a Mahonia, and Mahonia aquifolium is Oregon
grape, right?
Yes, state plant or flower. Hmm. Well, it must be the state plant. Is there a state flower? Maybe we should check that out.
Well, I guess it would be the rose.
I don't think it is. Right. Well, it might be the camas flower.
Portland city flower.
Yeah. And then the cultivar, Arthur Menzies. And there's several of these. Another one is called Charity. And they can get 10 to 12 feet tall. But they bloom this time of year, which is just great for gardeners to look out there. Mm. And you'll see hummingbirds visit it and any bees that are out now. I've mentioned this, I'm sure, before, that honeybees don't hibernate. So whenever it's warm enough, they're out there. I saw them bringing in pollen this morning. Huh. So they're out there.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought about that. They don't hibernate.
So whenever it's warm enough, and this is warm enough, and it's dry.
Yeah.
Yesterday I didn't see really, you know, much bee activity at all. But
cool.
Okay, so that's a good one. Yeah. But just the only thing to be concerned about is that they are some of the sharpest, pointiest leaves. You can use them for guard plants.
Mm. Okay.
You can't just walk by them and touch them. So you need gloves to, which you're pruning or something like that. But it's a great one.
Okay.
So
cool.
Mahonia X media, it's a cross, native to China, Japan, and Arthur Menzies is what I recommend there.
All right.
Okay, Jim, we got a phone call.
Oh, great.
Let's do it. Mark, did you say? Bart, okay.
Hello. Always fun to listen to your show.
Great.
You are... commenting on the habit people have of saying bless you when you sneeze.
Yes.
Apparently that's originated in Germany, my understanding of it, and that the reason was that when you sneezed, they felt that since you had lost control over yourself, the devil could enter your body and cause havoc. And although we know a little better now, I still think it's possible for one person to add a blessing or to send good wishes or energy to another person. So I'd say there's probably a lot of other things you could complain about. I don't think this should be high on your list.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to understand it.
Well, that's my two cents.
And you helped me with my understanding.
Yay. I always try to do that. But
excellent.
You know, the old joke there is that you people who think you know it all are really an irritation to those of us that do.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
And I'll leave you with that wisdom for the ages, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Happy holidays to you, too.
Okay. All right. Who we got here? Lee. Talk to us, Lee.
Well, the state flower.
Yeah.
Is tall Oregon grape.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got a patch that's probably 15 by 20. And in the spring, the color of the blossoms is absolutely awesome.
Indeed.
Neat.
But why do we call it?
I got one more question.
I have a question.
Okay.
Why do we call it the state flower?
Apparently, legislatures need something practical to do at some time.
Yeah, oftentimes these days, my point was, why not a state plant? But nevertheless, oftentimes these days, it seems like it's some school's project to nominate and then get these state designations through the legislature.
Well, I have to assume that it's been the state flower probably for decades upon decades.
Yes, agreed.
And if there's something unusual about calling that the state flower, I think isn't one of the state models or the state model she flies with her own wings.
Yep.
So we just do it.
I like that one.
Yeah.
And it's she. You know, it's not he.
That's right.
I like that even better.
That's right.
And the roots supposedly have good medicinal properties.
Of Mahonia?
The Oregon grape.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mahonia aquifolium. The state flower. Or the state plant.
So I got a question. It's a follow-up from Jim last month when he was talking about squeezing apples to produce juice.
Okay.
And cider. Apples ripen at different times, and if you let them sit around too long, they go bad. So it's better to produce juice and store the juice if you want to blend. And I guess that's the question I'm asking. Does Jim blend any of his juices to get different properties?
Well, Jim is, of course, me, typically no. I mean, it's hard to find the time to make the cider. In fact, at this moment, we're just discussing that on the way up here with my partner, Lorraine, who thankfully gave me a ride today. We have a walk-in cooler, so we have a lot of apples waiting to make cider, and our plan is for Friday to do that. And so basically, the blends are done with the different apples. And if you keep them cool, if you can keep them refrigerated, you can store them for quite a long time. Most apples will hang out for a while. The really early summer ones won't do that. But anything that, at least I've my experience, anything that's ripening from late August on can store for several months before you have to make the cider out of it. I'm sure there's some exceptions to that, but that's how we do our blend, is just basically with using the different apples. There's no reason, if you've got a cider press and you make cider earlier and then make some later, to blend those two would be fine as well, I'm sure. But the other thing that we do is I freeze it, because I can't drink it fast enough before it'll start to ferment. Even in a refrigerator, eventually it ferments, but putting it in a freezer then stops that from happening totally.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could use some sort of chemical additive that would sterilize the juice for the yeasty beasties that want to ferment.
Yeah, but it's not something that I'm interested in drinking.
Well, isn't citric acid one of those additives that they use to reduce fermentation?
Perhaps. I'm not real familiar with that, and I think it's a good question. And it certainly, if you don't have refrigeration, that would be something to consider doing.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Well, unless you want to ferment it, which is...
Right.
Well, then there's that, too.
We don't, a lot of us don't have the same dietary controls that you do.
Well, we could talk about that in more depth someday.
Off air, Jim, off air.
That's right. But thanks for the call. It's good to hear your thoughts on these things.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you for all the programming, all the work you do to put these things on the air. They're very informative.
Great.
I tell people about them, but to you, thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Lee. Yeah. We've been doing it for over 15 years. It's amazing, huh? So,
yep.
I know something.
Yeah. I think we're the only gardening radio show in the, at least certainly in the Portland area. But anyway, thanks for so much for your call.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. We got another call. So let's take it. I'm sorry? Tangent? Okay.
The sneezing question. I once heard, as often happens, someone will sneeze twice. And so I was walking, and there's a couple in front of me, and somebody was walking. And so she sneezed, and the guy says, God bless you. And she sneezed again, and he said, Gesundheit. And I thought that was funny enough. But then my wife is French, so I knew what they say. They say, A tu souhait, to your health.
Well, in Russian, they say "Buche zdorov," which means "be healthy."
There you go. But I'm taking off speakerphone. So, like, God bless you. Okay. So you don't have to have. They don't say "due to your health." Okay, a tu souhait. So it's not about God. It's just simply it's a blessing for you to be healthy. That's all it is—an affirmation. And it sounds like the Russian is also very similar. And the French and the Russians were getting together a long time before most of Europe found out about it. I wanted to mention, you mentioned them. Okay, isn't the Oregon State flower the trillium? I thought that was what it was.
No.
Mm-mm. Well, I think it might be.
That should be the Oregon State flower, maybe.
Hmm?
I mean, we should come up with a news designation.
Plant or flower. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Then one last thing, because you were talking about Oregon grape as a nice winter bloom, which, it does. There's also witch hazel, and the one I want to mention is Sasanqua camellias.
Yes.
Sasanqua camellias, and I have a client, man, she's so, it's just right now, they're blooming beautiful, you know.
Well, is it red?
It's a pinkish, it's a Christmas one, they call it.
Is it called Yuletide?
It might be, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, she takes them in, you know. They're not very long. They're not long-stemmed or anything, but puts them in a bowl, and they last a long time. So, but it's such a nice surprise, you know. And my other last one as a landscaper is PJM dwarf rhododendrons. They have an azalea bloom. There's a garbage truck coming by right now. But they bloom in late March, early February. One of the first, I think they are the first evergreen shrub, flowering shrubs that bloom. So they're they're a nice violet magenta color. So, but it's not a big fat. I like rhododendrons, all right, but it's not that.
Yeah.
It's a nice like azalea, a trumpet, if you will. Okay.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
The other thing is about winter color is that some plants. They may not bloom in winter, but like a Nandina, heavenly bamboo, they turn a color but don't lose their leaves, so they turn reddish. Many, and also the PJM rhododendron turns like a purplish green.
Yeah, there's more than more to look at than just the flowers.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on. Thank you very much for all your comments.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get to our first musical break here. We're going to have to cut these down so we can get to our other things here, too. But every December, I pay tribute to musicians that have passed away during the past year. And these musicians have had an impact on me. through either listening to their music or appreciating their songwriting or both. And the first one is Rick Davies, who was with Supertramp. In fact, he was founder and the last member in the group. Others have left, but I saw a YouTube of him playing a song. This song, he was performing it last year, 2024, and he died, I don't know, 85 or something like that. So, this is Supertramp with a nice kind of a torch song, Downstream.
I can hear.
Took a boat Sunday down by the sea. It just felt so nice.
I used to play that on the piano, too.
Yeah?
Yep.
I didn't know you were a piano player.
Indeed.
Wow.
Yep.
A man of many skills.
Okay. Let's just go right to the stumper. Are we ready for that, Ty? Ty can get that up in a hurry. Just remember, we have two of them. Okay, we had both things going there for a little bit. Okay, let's see. Let's do the new one first.
Okay.
And then we'll come back with the old one.
Okay.
Mine's pretty short. What parasite makes an entrance this time of year in many households? What parasite this time of year makes its entrance into many households?
We're not talking about plants into a house.
I'm not giving any hints yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, if you know the answer to that, 503-231-8187. And now, our second garden stumper.
Right.
And a holdover from last month.
That's right. Last month was a pre-recorded show, and so, I understand that some people might not have thought about being able to call in, or they couldn't call in, actually. They would have done it by email. So, what the stumper was that we all know what kiwis are, beautiful, the fuzzy fruit we buy in the store and has been around for many, many years. And the primary source of varieties, breeding of kiwi was done in New Zealand. But the kiwi is not native to New Zealand. And the stumper is, what country is it primarily native to?
Okay, if you know the answer to that, same number, 503-231-8187. Did they rename it in New Zealand?
Yep.
Okay. I don't think that's a hint.
Nope.
Nope. Okay, we've got a caller. You have a question or an answer? Caller?
Well, I don't know if it's an answer, but I do have an idea.
Okay.
Dust mites?
Well,
mites?
The dust mites might be here year-round.
Okay.
But that's a good guess.
Well, I just want to get things started.
Okay. I appreciate it.
See you later.
Yep, thank you. Okay, no other phone calls. Okay, good. Let's move on here. You want to talk about gifts for gardeners and garden show hosts?
Yeah, so what I thought of, this is the time of year when if the weather is, not so nice and the days are short. And so I thought one thing to mention is just catalogs. And that might lead into gifts because catalogs, whether they're on a piece of paper or whether they're online on a website, it's pretty fun to do some browsing and see what's out there. So that in particular made me think about companies that we have here locally in our local area that sell plants or seeds and so forth. And I'm sure you have your own list of those. But three that I know of that probably have gift certificates and would certainly love to sell plants to here in the Northwest are Rain Tree Nursery in Washington, Burnt Ridge Nursery, also a good friend of ours in Washington, and One Green World, which has been a sponsor of our show off and on here in Portland. They're all places that specialize in fruiting plants well adapted to the Pacific Northwest, which I think is a very important feature. I asked my partner Lorraine this morning about seed catalogs, and she mentioned some that she likes. And one catalog I would mention is Nichols Seed and Nursery, which used to be in Albany. I think they've moved to Philomath now. But at any rate, they've been around for a long, long time. I visited them in the 60s, and my friend that I was staying with was buying garden seeds from them. Territorial is another one that's been around for a long time, another good local Oregon company. Adaptive Seeds is one we ran into at a show recently. I'm not sure exactly where they're located, but they're here in the Northwest. And one also she mentioned was called Uprising Seeds, which is in Washington. So I'm sure, Nichols, Territorial, Adaptive Seeds, and Uprising Seeds, I'm sure they all have websites and possibly catalogs you could get. And then I thought more about gifts, and I've talked about it a little bit before on the show. One in particular that I just purchased actually for my daughter, and she's not listening, so she doesn't know this.
She
lives in Washington, too far.
She could stream it.
Yeah, she could be streaming. Well, if you're out there, Emmy.
Yeah, turn away.
Anyway, don't listen. But so I ordered her a pair of pruners. And the pruners that I like and they're made by a company called Bahco, or that's the
yeah
name
you've of mentioned those
BAHCO, and if you can't find them in a local garden store here, and they're not so common, you can get them from Pruner Warehouse, which is prunerwarehouse.com. It's a reasonable price, and they ship them quickly. And they're really, I mean, I'm I was going to mention something about competition and pruners, because when I first started traveling to the former Soviet Union in 1990, I couldn't believe the pruners. I'm looking for them right now to show you, Glenn, someday. But they were the most uncomfortable, poorly designed pair of pruners I'd ever seen in my life. But here in the here west we have competition, so that kind of a pruner wouldn't survive very long. So a better ones were made, and one of the standards, of course, is Philco. But Philco has a couple of disadvantages to me that this Bako doesn't. And my pair of Bakos, I've probably had the one I'm using right now for 4 or 5 years, and I do a lot of pruning. They're still in great shape and comfortable and work well. So that's my. That's my gift.
Well, oftentimes we, give the gifts that we've found useful. So hopefully that'll be the case.
Yeah.
All right, we can come back to that. Well, let's take another call.
Sure.
Okay, who do we have here?
Jack.
Hello.
Hi. I'm thinking you were asking a question about parasites.
Yes.
Is it spiders?
Nope. No, fortunately they're spiders, he said. That they're in the house year round.
Yeah.
Okay. I can give a hint here. Maybe I need to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I already said it, but I want to highlight that it's this month. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, bye.
Okay.
Okay, and where are the kiwis native to?
Yeah, that's what we got two. You got two chances here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ty, are we looking at another call here? No. Okay, well, let's move on here. We're running out of time.
Yeah.
We have 20 minutes left.
I love getting all these calls from listeners. Oh, that's nice.
So let's do, we can also do pruning next month, too, or we'll need to do pruning next month. So let's talk more about right now questions to ask to get the right plant for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember, I think this was years ago, and it was either you or our comrade, Ted Swenson. Did you know? You knew Ted. Yeah. Sure. And he said, or you said, ask the proprietor of the store or the worker how big the tree will get. Or no, that wasn't it, because it's hard to know that. It's what is the rootstock?
That's something that's very important to know.
Because, and even though if you don't know what the rootstock is, you can look it up and they can tell you.
Yes, and the reason they're doing that is because words like dwarf are just used so liberally, and they could be anything from a tree that, so let's talk about an apple tree for a moment, an apple tree that might get 6 to 8 feet tall, or one that might get 14 feet tall.
Yeah, or more if you're talking semi-dwarf. And if you're talking dwarf pear tree, or even a more extreme, a dwarf, in quotes, cherry tree, well, those suckers will be 20 feet tall.
And again,
that's dwarfing, but it's not, apple is the main thing.
Yeah.
So that's the main question.
Mm-hmm.
What are the questions?
Well, that's a really good point, because a lot of going back for just a moment, so the work that we do at Northwoods Nursery is we do breeding and selection work, and we've done it for many years, focused on varieties of fruit that will do well in this climate. And so that one important issue with that is early ripening, because there are a lot of fruits that grow fine east of the mountains or in the south or even on the east coast that get a lot more heat because they have particularly warmer nights. So they could be ripening fine there, but not do very well here, not ripen. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important question, is about, early ripening.
So would you suggest then, I would suggest then, because of that, is to stay away from the big box stores, which may get fruit trees in, to all stores on the West Coast or whatever.
Yep.
And go more with local.
Yep.
Chain nurseries that are in Portland, of which there aren't really, at least I can't think of any.
I can't. I mean, there's a local one. You know,
yeah,
you know.
and then local ones will. I would, you know, not going to be 100% on that, but most are going to have the plants that are appropriate.
Yeah, we can mention things on the air. I thought about doing this and perhaps more next month when we have more time about some specific varieties that I personally would recommend based on our experience out at the nursery.
Yeah, it's just too bad that we don't have the Home Orchard Society to taste these apples. Portland Nursery still has it, but they don't have nearly the variety that the All About Fruit show that we used to put on. But
and again, see, this is another question, of course, because the second question I would say after ripening time is disease or pest resistance.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a plant that doesn't like a wet climate like ours, an apple variety or something, you're going to struggle with it. And basically, we don't spray. We do not spray for mm-hmm. disease at our nursery. So the plants that we grow have to make it through the winter and spring without that extra care. And the reason we don't do that is because we guess that probably 90% of backyard gardeners, and I mean people who have a yard and plant fruit trees, don't want to spray or won't do it. And so, and there are mild sprays, you know, like I shouldn't say we don't spray anything. We sometimes will use oil.
Considered organic.
Yeah, things that are considered organic. But the more harsh things that you might have to use, we just won't do.
No, that's they either make it or they don't.
That's right.
Okay, so, let's go back to the phones. Ty, do we have? Ty says yes. Okay, I can barely hear you, Ty, so I don't get the names. Tangent's back. Anybody? Anybody there? I don't know. Maybe I should give a hint.
Sure.
Okay. These.
Yeah.
Okay, somebody is there.
Question.
Okay.
Take me 1 minute, 1 second.
That's
a metric second.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm on the air.
Yep.
Oh, great. I got a quick question. I got I live in an apartment complex where it's kind of wet. The drainage is very poor. Can you recommend maybe one or two apple trees to plant that might do better in a more saturated environment?
Are you talking? You're talking about the soil. You're going to plant these in the ground at the complex?
Correct, without permission.
Well, generally speaking, the apple rootstocks that are commonly available are pretty okay here in our climate. I mean, if it's something where there's water standing for a while, that would not be so good for any of the. I don't think any particular rootstocks would be happy with that. But in our experience at the nursery, M26, M7. Even the more dwarfing ones like M9, they're all okay in our typical Northwest soils.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now can you? I mean, the M26, 7, and 9. I know you're professional. Can you give me a common word that means one of those?
Well, that's it.
So yeah, so right. I mean, if you were asking, if you went to buy an apple tree, and they were saying it was a dwarf tree, you could hopefully the label would tell you what the rootstock is, and hopefully, and if that doesn't, if not the case, the people selling it would know that the number, and you can look that up too. If it's not one of the ones I just mentioned, there are other ones. M111 is bigger, but generally speaking, you would call an M26 a dwarf rootstock and M7 a semi-dwarf rootstock.
And if you're, and I'll just interject, and you don't want semi-dwarf, especially at an apartment complex. They're just too big.
Unless you're on the second floor.
I'll just say somebody else planted it. I don't know how it got there.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a that is an issue.
Have a wonderful day, gentlemen. I got to eat my breakfast.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, back to the phones. Okay. You're on the air.
Wade Tangent?
Yep.
Okay, the best gift for the avid gardener on your list
yeah.
is Felco. And I wrote down the ones, I'm going to look them up, what you like. But I had Felco pruners for like 40 years of this business. And you can buy replacement blades if you ever wear them out. But it took me 40 years to wear one out.
Yeah.
They have a revolving handle, you know, it spins as you, the bottom handle, so you don't mm-hmm. get all these calluses on your hand. Makes every cut a little easier.
Yeah.
Yeah,
does,
well, you know,
does Bockel have that?
So Bockel makes the rotating handle as well. But I, in my experience, and I do a lot of pruning. I don't do enough pruning to really get a benefit from that rotating handle, and it costs quite a bit more. So for me, I'm happy with just the standard one.
Okay.
The main thing that I found with Felco the Bockel is, for me, there's two things about the difference between them, and I'm not trying mm-hmm. to put down Felco because obviously
I hear you.
It's been
okay.
a long time. One is the handles. Are the pruners are aluminum and they have a coated handle, and if you've had your pruners for 40 years, my guess is that coating has come off, because it's just coated and it can slide off after a while, and then the other thing I don't like is the latch that holds the pruners closed. It gets loose and it stops working properly, and it's not.
I took mine off completely because it would lock up when I'm trying to. Prune it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've had them where they won't lock, or they will. Okay, yeah. But
anyway.
Here's another one. Sandvik. Have you ever heard of Sandvik?
Heard of it.
From Sweden.
Yeah.
No, I had this. Oh, they were super sharp. The first time I used them, I thought, okay, if I did this wrong, I'd cut my finger off. It was like cutting through butter. And but they had, like, it said on the thing, they use French steel. And so I won't get too as far.
Yeah,
as that.
People can look up what they need to look up. But
yeah, that's interesting.
That's good.
Yeah, sure. That's a good suggestion.
I'm going to look for yours because I always want more than one tool. I'd rather have more than one than less than one tool. Okay.
Yeah. Good point.
So I'm going to look up the Bockel you said, and I wrote down the website, so I'm going to check them out.
Great. All right.
That'll be my Christmas gift to me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Back to the phones. Francesca.
Hi. Is it the Asian stink bug?
No.
In the garden?
No. I'm
going
to have to give a hint here, because everybody's on the wrong track. The point is, or the not the point, the hint was this month, and I will also give another hint this season.
Ants.
Nope, that's not it.
I have a question, though.
Okay.
Are there any berry plants or maybe even a columnar apple that would work in, like, Zone 4 East Los Angeles area?
Los Angeles is, like,
nine.
You're not talking about Zone 4 hardiness, obviously, because that's cold. Los Angeles.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Los Angeles, whatever it is. I forgot the.
Yeah. It's probably
Zone 9.
Probably. The warmest there is.
That's a really that's an excellent question. My cousin lives in Los Angeles, and I gave her a columnar apple some years ago, and it didn't really do well because it just wasn't adapted to that that climate, because there was so little chilling. It got confused. Right now, I don't know of one. I'm sorry, that would be that adapted to that far south.
What about kiwis? Like a climbing kiwi.
Yeah. Well, in general, kiwis are there are some lower chill kiwi varieties, and I'm sorry, right now I can't remember what
okay.
they are, because up here, of course, we don't need to worry about that. Do you have friends there, or why are you asking?
My granddaughters and my stepdaughter and her husband, and they have a blue banana tree that blue java that finally started producing after like 5 or 6 years, and they have some figs, and I was just wondering. Yeah, I'll look up for low-till climbing kiwis.
Yeah. And another fruit tree that I'm very passionate about these days is persimmon, and in general, persimmons would work okay down there too.
Okay. What about, what's that other one, Brad, that fruit that we liked?
Uh-huh.
No, the yellow thing Rodolfo eats.
That's a persimmon.
That's a persimmon. And that would work, too. Good, because he loves... Okay.
It's a beautiful tree.
Cool.
Beautiful tree, easy to grow. So, that would be a good one.
Okay. Thank you
so
much.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to have to give one more hint. And if you remember the comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, when he was teasing Hobbes or Susie or something like that, he would also say mooches smooches, and that's your hint. Somebody will get that.
Okay,
we've got a few minutes left to get that answer in, and about the native, where the kiwi is native to.
We're gonna
reveal all in 3 minutes, so we're not going to carry this on any further.
Yes, for certain.
All right. Okay. Talk about catkins. Let's take that one.
Yeah. So catkin is an interesting word. You know, of course, it comes. It's not to do with felines, but there are two. Catkin is a flower, and it's typically the male flower on a plant, and there are two particular trees, actually in this case nut trees, that grow here in the Pacific Northwest that have catkins. And what is interesting to me about catkins is that they are the showy flower, you could say. They hang down and they look really nice.
You've probably seen them on birch trees. They also have catkins, sure. We're more common in the city.
Yes. Well, so very soon you will see catkins on a nut tree here. That should be a garden stumper, shouldn't it? Well, anyway,
yeah.
So what is the main nut grown here in the Northwest?
Yeah. It's not even the Northwest. It's Yam Hill County, in Oregon. Yeah,
that's right. Oregon is the
Western Oregon,
by far the largest grower of this particular nut in the United States, not in the world.
We had this as a stumper last month or the month before.
So filberts. The filbert or hazelnut is the
they have catkins.
And also chestnuts have catkins.
And I think walnuts do too, do they not?
No.
Walnuts. What hangs down on the walnut?
Well, you know that's a good point. Maybe they do. I honestly don't have any fruiting walnuts on
I'm thinking, are they called catkins on chestnuts too?
Chestnuts do have catkins. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And typically, at least in the ones I know of, the pollination is by wind.
Yes, that's why there's a gazillion pollen.
And a catkin is just a whole collection of little flowers that put out pollen.
And they're pretty.
Yeah, and blow around.
Okay. Well, nobody's calling in even with that hint. Muchos smuchos. See, nobody thought of this. Okay. Actually, there's a call coming in here now. We'll see if somebody gets that.
Yeah.
Do you want to go ahead and give the answer to the...
sure.
Well, let's wait for this phone call. Maybe they're going for that. Okay, we're ready. Kathy,
mistletoe?
What you got? You're on the air.
Is it mistletoe?
It is! Good job, Kathy.
Okay.
Yes. See, everybody was going with the... on the animal route, but no, it was a plant.
Yeah.
A mistletoe, which grows mostly into oaks or certain varieties of oaks. And there's certain kinds of mistletoe. I did my homework on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it grows into the plant, the oak tree. So if there's too many of them, you know, a couple dozen or more, then that it can really weaken the tree.
Huh.
But,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know that that's a... It's a Christmas thing, is it not? Or is it just...
Yes.
Is it a pagan thing like the Christmas tree?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Kathy, good job. If you would like, you can stay on the phone and Ty will get your information. You get a free sharpening of a gardening hand tool. You
know, okay, thank you.
Shovels, trowels. Nobody sharpens
pruners.
A trowel. Pruners, yes. Right.
Okay.
So, thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, Jim.
And no clue if I guess we're done, right?
Yeah, we're out of time.
China.
That's where it came from.
That's
okay.
Where it, came from. It used to be called the Chinese date.
Ah.
Before the New Zealanders renamed it.
Huh.
The Kiwi.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll have more tributes in January because we didn't get to this, but we will leave with the recent passing of Steve Cropper, who was a guitarist who was part of Booker T and the MGs and was a co-author of Green Onions. This variety rendition we're hearing is with Roy Buchanan, another guitarist, and I don't think we'll get to Steve Cropper's solo in this, but...
You know, one thing we should mention, Glenn, that this is the K-Boo fundraising time.
Yes, it is.
A gift you could do for the whole world to send, make a donation to K-Boo and keep us on the air.
I have it right here highlighted in yellow. Nope. I got to remember to bring my glasses. Okay. Ty, we're ready to go. This is Glenn Andreessen along with Jim Gilbert. Thanks for listening. Best of the season to you. Be well.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Su estación comunitaria KBO 90.7.